to print out the pages.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the right ones.
Oh, excuse me, before we start, Ira, did I get that phone number from you? You did. I don't know why I can't find it. Okay, I'm looking. Because I don't want to nudge you for that. You know, I just want to say Mazel Tov to Binyamin. All right. So Rabosai, what I wanted to do with you is go through a fascinating article about tefillin. This Shabbos in Parshas Bo, we have the mitzvah of tefillin. And it's rare that we get a chance to look at the hashkafa of a mitzvah, and in this case, a mitzvah that's, you know, daily mitzvah, it's so profound. And I thought maybe for Parshas Bo, since the Torah says, "V'hayu l'cha li'osal yodech l'zikaron b'neinecha," we might take a few minutes of that time to think about the hashkafa of tefillin. And if I had to point to one Rishon that really breaks ground here, and we want to sort of embellish his words, in this area, it's the Ramban in two places. The Ramban in his Pirush on Parshas Bo identifies the mitzvah of tefillin. He writes, Shoresh HaMitzvah Zos, and what is the root of the mitzvah, he says, Shenaniach, that we should place Ksav Yitzias Mitzrayim al Yad v'al Rosh, because after all, the Torah connects tefillin with Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ki biyod chazok otziach Hashem Mitzrayim is the pasuk in our parsha, and he says that Ksav, where we write down Yitzias Mitzrayim and we wear it on our yad and on our rosh, is keneged halev v'hamoach. This parallels the heart. In the case of tefillin shel yad, and of course in the tefillin shel rosh, the moach, shehem, that they are the mishkanos hamachshava. I'm sorry, I'm still getting over my. So the heart and the soul, the heart and the mind and the intellect are called, according to the Ramban, the Mishkanos HaMachshava. Now, what that means, we don't know. That's what we want to study today. The word Machshava, generally speaking, is related to Moach and not to Lev. And yet here, the Ramban combines Lev and Moach, the two tefillins, into one unit, which refers to Lev and Moach of the Mishkanos HaMachshava. And the Ramban does it not once, but twice. He does it a second time in his Pirush on Eov, where he writes on the Pasuk Chacham Lev. Again, the Pasuk itself seems to indicate some sort of connection between the Lev and the intellect. And he writes that HaChachamim lo yamtilu chachmasam ki hu chacham lev. And he writes, V'derech HaKosiv liyaches Chochmas ha'odom lalev, that it is common for the Tanakh to relate the chachma, the intellect and the wisdom of a person to his lev. And why is that? Ki hu mekom hakochos kulam, because the lev is the source. It's the so to speak. It's the host of all of our kochos, whether they be intellectual or whether they be emotional, it all comes back to the lev. So what we want to work on today, and I don't know if you were able to copy it, I tried to send it to you a little bit earlier than later, and to make sure that the link would not be in the title of the mistake that I made last time, is an essay called Tfilin Moach V'Lev in a sefer called Ikvei Derech, which is authored by Rav Tzvi Reisman. And he begins by quoting the Ramban. That doesn't surprise us. And he writes, V'hinei shoresh ha-mitzvah zos, as we saw earlier, shenaniach ksav yitzias mitzrayim al ayad, V'yala Rosh, Keneged Alev HaMoch, Shein Mishkenos HaMachshava. And he says that at first glance, we don't really understand, we don't appreciate the Ramban. There's no question that the Mishkan of the Machshava, if you ask where in the human being is the source for Machshava, you would certainly identify that exclusively with the Moach and not with the Leif. Now, Rabosei, at the outset, I just want to point out, this is not a lesson in biology here. You know, we're not talking about, you know, the physical components of a heart, as important as they are, and the function of a heart, as critical as it is, of course, but we're talking about the heart in metaphysical terms, shall we say, as a symbol. And he says that we really have to work very hard to understand this Ramban, that the lave, the heart, becomes the Mishkan HaMachshava. What's the relationship between the intellect and those decisions that we make in the intellect and the heart of a person, the lave? Why is the lave considered the Mishkan of the Machshava? And that's going to have an impact on our understanding of the meaning of tefillin. And he says the following. There is clearly a distinction between lev and moach. The Ramban himself lays down that premise as unquestionable. In fact, the lev represents the tefillin shel yad and the moach the tefillin shel rush. So those are clearly two different functions. And therefore, when we write Yetzias Mitzrayim down on a klaf, we have a separate klaf for each one of these functions of the human psyche, whether it's the moach or the lev. But nevertheless, he claims that the lev is the mishkan, not only for the lev itself, but also for the moach. So we're kind of caught in a bind. On the one hand, we want to establish that the moach and the lev are two separate independent functions, and at the same time, even having defined them separately and respectively as two separate functions, nevertheless, they combine, they integrate in the mitzvah of tefillin, and we wear both tefillin shel rush and tefillin shel yad as an indication of this very intense and profound connection or integration of both lev and moach. So we're basically treading a very thin ground here. We have a very distinct goal to achieve, to on the one hand understand the difference between moach and lev, and at the same time to combine them and integrate together into one whole, which is called tefillin, and that should all indicate something about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, I just want to inject a personal observation of my own on a halachic basis. You and I know that Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh are independent mitzvahs. And therefore, if you only have one, whichever it might be, you'll don the Tefillin Shel Yad without the Rosh or vice versa and recite a bracha. But nevertheless, there is a halacha of the Hayu. V'hayu l'totofos, totofos is in plural, and Chazal established that one should have both the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh on his body at the same time. In fact, the Gemara establishes that the tefillin shel rosh should really never be on the body without the tefillin shel yad, again, unless you only have the tefillin shel rosh. And it also seems to be indicated by the Rambam that the bracha of al mitzvah tefillin is a bracha that's recited on both the Tefillin Shel Yad and the Tefillin Shel Rosh. In other words, they combine together into one kiyum, which reflects itself in the second bracha of Al Mitzvah's Tefillin. So that whereas in the case of Tefillin Shel Yad, the mitzvah is Hanachas HaTefillin, in the case of Tefillin Shel Rosh, the mitzvah is having the Tefillin on the body, but the bracha is chal not only vis-a-vis the tefillin shel rosh because I have the tefillin shel rosh on my body, on my head, but also vis-a-vis the tefillin shel yad because my body has both together at the same time. So what we're learning now in the Ramban and in this article about the connection between the lev and the moach in the mitzvah tefillin is also halachically indicated. It is not just pure philosophy and hashgafa, but it's also indicated in halacha. And the second point that I wanted to inject here is that the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Chaf Hei, in Hilchas Tfilin, which I have here, I'll just get it out here. So the Mechaber also seems to indicate that we should realize when we wear tefillin that the tefillin are al zroa. I'm quoting the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, al zroa keneged al lev, v'al arosh keneged al moach. And he goes on to say that it's not just in terms of where you position the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh respectively, but it goes beyond that. And he says, sheyishavid laKadosh Baruch Hu, a person should be mishavid to Hashem. Number one, his neshama, which is his moach, and number two, halev, which is ikar ha-taivos ve-ha-machshavos, the language of the Shulchan Aruch. So we're talking about a very unique mitzvah in which the Shulchan Aruch himself, which he doesn't do in any other case, indicates what kavana a person should have when he fulfills this mitzvah. Not just the general universal kavana of l'shem mitzvah, if you hold mitzvah suit has kavana, but a specific kavana in which we commit ourselves, number one, our moach, and number two, our lev. The moach, insofar it is the seat of the neshama, and the lev, which is the seat of taiva and machshava, that commitment, a twofold one, is essential, says the Mechaber, in the kavana that we have when we wear tefillin. And therefore, I always tell my students that even though they may or may not have the minhag of reciting the Hineni Muchan and Mezumans, you know, before all the mitzvahs, which I think in your neck of the woods, they're pretty mocked on that, aren't they? They do say the Hineni Muchans. I seem to recall in
Sphere. I don't think we have time.
What do you say?
I don't think we have time in the morning for that.
That's true, especially if you want to come to my shiur on Tuesdays. But what I mean to say is that I remember on Sphere Saomer, they recite the Hineni Muchan before the Sphere Saomer, if I remember correctly.
And that's probably
indicative. You know, there are many Jews who leave out the Hineni Muchan and Mezumos. The Noda B'Yehuda, for example, was not so excited about that. But this one, I would advocate to recite, because if you take a look at the text of the Hineni Muchan and Mezumos before Tefillin, and even if you don't have time to read the whole Gansa Arichus, at least focus on this point about being the Shaved, the Lev, and the Moach in a double type of Shibud, and that is indicated in the l'shem, you know, l'shem yichud kuchabrichu of tefillin l'shaved bazeh tavos machshavas libedu lavodoso yisbarach shmo u'mishaved his ha he should be mishaved his tavos his machshavas of the lev, and the Rashi says keneged amoach shaneshama v'mochi, and he should be mishaved the neshama and the moach to avodas Hashem. And all this sounds more appropriate for chassidim, but you don't have to be a chassid to follow the Shulchan Aruch, as far as I know. Okay, let's get back for the time being to this article and see what we can get out of it. He says the following. This is number base. And the number on top of your page should say 12 on it. Do you have that?
Yeah.
You have number 12? Okay, great. Yechiel, first time, every time. I can always rely on you. Baruch Hashem. He says the following, that although the Shulchan Aruch avoids, as we saw, tamei mitzvahs, and he never goes into deep, deep kavanas of mitzvahs, although he was a Talmud to some extent to the Arizal, who is famous for getting into the kavanas for mitzvahs, but here in Tefillin, he goes out of his way in a very atypical fashion to emphasize the kavana that we should have when we put on Tefillin. And as we said before, the Shulchan Aruch reflects the Ramban, that the lev is very, very critical here as the source for not only taivos, but also machshavos. Now, There's a Yalkut Shimoni at the beginning of Mishlei, which records a Machlokas Tanoim. And frankly speaking, I would never have found this Yalkut Shimoni if not for this article. And he writes the following: Hachochma me'ayin timotze melamed shahoya Shlomo mechapes viomer heichan hi hachochma mitzuya. Right, the Chacham Mikol Adam is searching for the source for Chachma. Where is it found? Rabbi Eliezer Omer Barash. Chachma is in the head, is in the brain. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Belev. And the Yalkut Shimoni, in a very atypical way, comes to a definite conclusion, advocating in favor of Rabbi Yeshua. The Asya Kedaite de Rabbi Yeshua. I will prove to you from David HaMelech, from Shlomo HaMelech, that we accept the approach and the definition of Rabbi Yehuda that Chochmah is in the lev. Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Nasata Simcha Belibi, and what's Simcha? Ein Simcha Ela Chochmah. So if I combine David HaMelech's statement about the fact that God bestows Simcha in the Lev, together with Shlomo HaMelech's statement in Mishlei Chav Gimel, that Chacham B'ni V'Samach Libi, that Chacham and Simcha is one and the same, then by virtue of the law of transmutation, it would seem that the place for Chachma is the Lev. V'Bnei Ma Nosna Chachma B'Lev. Then the Yalkut goes on to raise the main question here: why was Chachma given to the lev? And he answers, Lefisha kol ha'evarim tluyim belev, that all of the organs of a human body depend upon the lev. Now again, that sounds at the super, you know, superficially to be some sort of biological statement, but it doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know, we know that there are many avarim in the body which are absolutely critical, and certainly not the least of the cerebrum. You know, you could hardly function without a brain. But kol avarim tluyim belev. So what we're going to try to do is, we're going to try to understand what this is all about based on the Ramban's drasha for his wedding. Now, I don't know exactly how old the Ramban was when he got married. I tend to think that back in Spain in those days, they got married pretty young. And it would seem that the Ramban is trying to bring together the shitas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua and try to bridge the gap between them. Now let's try to, you know, again, this Ramban is going to be a doozy. So I need your help for this, but we'll try our best. The Ramban says the following: Zeh sha'amar Shlomo hat oznecha ushma divrei chachamim bo lachria bein Rabbi Eliezer ubein Rabbi Yoshua ubo lomar shedivrei shneihem kayomim she Rabbi Eliezer omer chachma barosh V'David tofas kidvarav uposach bi'ashrei sheha'alef hi ha'chochma kirichsiv v'alafcha chochma. The letter Aleph, says the Ramban, symbolizes chochma. And David HaMelech begins his Sefer Tehillim with Ashrei, with the Aleph. And the reason for that is because the Aleph represents Chachma. And of course, we're talking about the Chachma of the Rosh.
Why would the Aleph represent Chachma? Sorry?
That's a Pasuk. I forget exactly if it's very funny, but if I would find this Pasuk by opening a Gemara in Shabbos, I could find the Gemara in Shabbos. I'm just a little bit lazy. But anyway, the Gemara in Shabbos has a symbolic meaning for every one of the letters of the Aleph base. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
I think it's on Daf Kuf Beis or somewhere over there. It's a Kuf Gimel maybe, at the beginning of Perek HaBoneh. It's a very, very famous Gemara. It's quoted all over the place. And the Gemara says that the Aleph of the Aleph Beis is indicative of this Pasuk of David HaMelech, which is the Alafcha Chachma, which means that Aleph represents Chachma. And then you may remember the pasuk Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, that and HaKadosh Baruch Hu began the creation process of the entire universe with Chachma. The Aleph represents Chachma, and the Aleph of Ashrei, if you take a look in that pasuk, it's referring to Chachma, and Chachma is Barosh. Rabbi Yoshua, on the other hand, says that Chachma is Belev. And even though David HaMelech established that Chachma is Barash, Shlomo HaMelech decided that Chachma, like Rabbi Yeshua, is in the Lev, and therefore he opens up the Sefer Mishle with the Mem of Mishle, and the letter Mem, which is the middle letter of the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, is a reference to the lev, which is in the middle of the body. And what Shlomo HaMelech wants to tell you is that the Sefer HaChachma, which is called Mishle, is situated in the lev, because Chachma is belev, and the Mem, as opposed to the Aleph, which represents the Rosh, the Mem represents the lev. So if you're imagining like the human body as a sort of Aleph Beis, the Aleph is up here, and the Mem is right here in the middle. The Aleph is the first letter, represents Chachma Barosh. The Mem is the middle letter of the Aleph Beis, and it represents the Chachma of Mishle, which is the Chachma of the Lev. Uba HaKosuv, says the Ramban, HaShlishi V'chriya Beinehem. Lomar Shachachma Barosh, Umisham mispashetes balev. Shlomo HaMelech is going to teach us that although Chachma begins in the head, in the mind, from there it spreads to the heart, and now we find Chachma in the lev, and that's why David HaMelech says Hat oznecha shma divrei chachamim v'limcha tashis l'dayti. Melamed shechachma ba'ozen Shehi Barash. Again, this is a big, gigantic premise of the Ramban, that the word Oznecha is a reference to the Rosh, even though literally it's a reference to the ear, but the ear is when the mind is able to hear, because the mind plays a very major role in hearing, as we all know. The mind plays less of a role in sight. Sight is more or less thrust upon the eyes, so to speak, against its will, whereas the ear is much more selective. In fact, I think they did scientific experiments where they were able to record sounds as they entered to the ear, and they were gibberish. It's the mind that actually puts the sounds together, because the mind is trained to take two different sounds and combine them. So Shmia is always considered active, whereas Re'iyah is always considered passive. In any event, what's relevant to us is that Hat Oznecha Ushma is a reference to the Rosh, even though again it says the Ozen, but it's the Rosh that plays the major role in hearing. But then it says Libcha Tashis L'dayti. Now this Chachma in the Rosh is going to filter down all the way to the Lev. And that, according to the Ramban, is the reconciliation of the two opinions in the Yalkut, that of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Chachmei Nochinami is in the Rosh, it begins in the Rosh. Chachmei Nochinami is in the Lev, because it's mispashet from the Rosh down to the Lev. So we can summarize all this by saying that in truth, there is no machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua according to the Ramban, and they both are telling us that Chachma and Lev go together. It starts in the Rosh, but it ends in the Lev. Okay. Now, what does this mean that Chochma begins in the head and then it spreads to the lip? So for this, we're going to refer to another Ramban. As we mentioned at the beginning, there's a Ramban in his commentary on Eov that's very relevant to our discussion today. And this is on the bottom right column, if you have it. The Ramban writes, Derech HaKosev L'Yachais HaChochma L'Lev. Why is it so common for psukim all over the place in Tanakh to relate Chochma to the Lev? Ki Hu Mokom HaKochos Kulam. Because as we saw in the Ramban earlier, the Lev is the center of all Kochos together. Correct? Did we see that in the Ramban, or is it just my imagination? Help me out here, guys. Okay. Thanks for your help. Okay. I knew I could rely on you. In any event, where was it? What? You don't hear me?
We get scarred for being here.
Oh, okay. I mean, your brains don't have to be here, and certainly the lathe doesn't have to be. That's what you're telling me. Okay, fine.
actually, the lathe is the one that's...
All right. Any event, we've seen this before. I just have to remind myself exactly where that the lathe is the that was the end of the Yalkut Shimoni. My mistake. The Yalkut Shimoni, which is number Gimel, concludes by saying Kol Haivarim Tluyim B'Lev, and the Ramban picks up on this in his commentary on Eov. And he writes, Mokom HaKochos Kulam, the lev is the place for all the kochos of the individual. And therefore, for example, in Parshas Truma, the wise people who come forward to do the malach of the Mishkan are called Chachmei Lev, who belev kol chacham lev nasati chachma. Chachma is in the lev. Or, for example, David HaMelech says, V'navi levav chachma. Shlomo HaMelech says, Chacham lev yikach mitzvos. And Nasati L'chol Lev Chachma, Hashem says to Shlomo HaMelech, V'chein B'chol Mokom, Lev is the source of all powers of man, including the intellect. And now we're moving on to the left column on top. And he says that we see clearly that the Lev is called the source of all powers of man. And therefore Chachma, no less than any of the other of man's Kishronos, is related to the Lev. And therefore he says that we're going to have to understand what does it mean when we say that all the kochos come from the lev. I mean, we know that man has many different senses, for example, sense perceptions, whether it's a hearing or sight and so forth. What does that have to do with the lev? Again, if you were to relate it to the cerebellum, that would make sense. But to the lev, what's it all about? And the answer is that the lev represents the will of a person. Again, we're talking about the lev now, not in a physical sense, but the heart in a symbolic sense. And the source in man for his will is not the seichel, believe it or not the intellect. The human will is in the heart. And therefore, and it's the ratzon that mashpi al haseichel. The will of the heart impacts on the intellect and its faculties. Vafilu haratzon akotan biyoser, even if it's a very minor kind of will, whatever it is that you want, mishachneas hadas, it has an impact on the intellect and clouds the intellectual objective process of thought and twists it and distorts it, if you will, in order to fill the desire of the heart. And this is the famous yisod, and I think we've discussed this in the past on more than one occasion, of Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, who has a book on the Yisodei HaEmuna. And in that book he asks the question, why is it that so many Jews unfortunately deny the existence of God? I mean, there's so many logical proofs from creation, And he says that if we think about it deeply, and this is famous Kovitz Ma'amarim, we realize that faith and belief in God as the creator of the universe, although it seems to be so elementary if we think about it clearly, is nevertheless a philosophical problem, not on an intellectual level, but simply because of man's heart as the seat of his will. He writes, Chok HaTeva, and I underline this, Bekochos Nefesh Adam, Ki HaRatzon Yashpi Al HaSeichel. The will impacts on man's ability to make a decision. And that's what the Torah means when it says that a judge is not allowed to take a shochat. Imagine, he can't take a bribe, even if he'll take the same amount of money from both of his litigants who are fighting it out. Because once a judge takes a bribe, he has some sort of a shochat, a will, and that will makes it absolutely impossible for him not to cloud his intellect in his decision of the mind. And therefore, he says you could have two people who are living in this world, and they come from a similar background. He says, why is that one accepts the belief in God and the other rejects it? And he claims that the reason is not in the intellect. They both may have the identical IQ level, but nevertheless, one has a negia gasa, as he calls it, because his life will be totally upset and he will not be able to fulfill the wills and the desires of his heart if he accepts the belief in God. And that's ma'aver ene seichel, and that blinds and clouds his ability to use his seichel clearly. And therefore, says Rabbi Chanan, yisodei ha'emuna mitzad atzmam en pshutim, even if the fundamentals of our faith can be proven philosophically as fundamental, as basic, as primary, nevertheless, man has to be above any sort of shochad, any sort of bribe that comes from his will, the will of his heart. And if man wills the free life, then it's quite possible, or maybe even probable, that he will reject the belief in God, because he cannot live this life of a contradiction in which there is a creator who is a moral God and has definite, you know, rules and regulations, at the same time want to follow the will of his heart to live a life of hedonistic pleasure. And therefore the Torah says, Lo sasuru acharei levavchem, and Chazal say that that is a reference to minus. Isn't that strange? Levavchem? Levavchem is the heart. What does it have to do with minus? Minus means to deny God, which is in the intellect. Hainu, what Chazal are trying to teach us, isha'odam muzar lachnia, if a person wants to come to belief in God and reject any sort of minus, then the first order on the agenda is to be meshabed his ratzon. Forget about his intellect. Forget about, you know, reading Aristotle's treatise on the eternity of the universe. Leave all that out. Begin the process with your heart, with the seat of your ratzon, to be meshabed your ritzonos. Once you meshabed your ritzonos, then the seichel becomes free to be objective and not to be dragged or influenced and impacted by the ratzon. And memela, as a natural consequence, yakir esaemes hamuchrachas l'chol ben dea, he will be forced to accept the truth, which is obvious to anyone who has a brain in his head, Shakarish Barhu Bara Es Ha'olam. Therefore, concludes Rabbi Chanan, the mitzvah of Emunah is not in the brain. The mitzvah of Emunah is to control the will of your heart. And if he reaches the level of success of Shelo Yagbir Tavosov, that his Tavos and his desires and his will will not get the best of him, it will not overcome his Seichel, is Memela, and I emphasize that word Memela, as a natural result and consequences, Tovo Emuna Behechrich. This is the famous treatise and philosophy of Rabbi Chanan, in which he establishes that something as intellectual as the belief in God, something as philosophical as Chachma can be, namely, does God exist, depends not on the Moach, but rather on the Lev. And therefore, says Rav Elchanan, if we control our Lev, then the Lev will allow the Seichel to be free of any influences and any bribes. The Lev is the Iker of the Tavos, but therefore also the Iker of our Machshavos, because our Machshavos are controlled by the Lev. And if a person can now be Meshabed his Lev to serve Hashem, then having controlled his heart and his desires, Yasit et ha-chokhma v'tadas, he will be able to free his intellect and his wisdom from any kind of shochad that would cloud his vision and might even lead him to the conclusion that 2 times 2 is not 4 but 5. That's how far the ratzon of the lev can go and its impact on the moach. So far, are we clear?
Okay.
We're now on the bottom of page 12, about to turn to page 13. And basically what we're going to see here in the Ramban, on the Pasuk, Vayomer Esav Belibo, what does it mean that Esav is having a conversation with his lev, in which he decides that he wants to destroy his brother Yaakov? Says the Ramban, Ki hahaskama bedover asher yimloch adam im libo tikra amira im alev. When a person's decision reflects what his lev wants, that is formulated in the language of Tanakh as Omar el Libo, that he spoke to his heart. It's not a dibur bisfasayim, it's not a spoken word, but he says that when the Pasuk says Belev Lev Yadabru, what does it mean that they spoke heart to heart in Pasuk in Tilim? Ki haratzon yikro lev. The will is the heart. Those are identical. When it says, Kol Yisrael Lev Echad, a pasuk in Divrei Yomim, that all of Israel had one undivided heart, Lahamlich es David, to determine that David would be the king of Israel, it means that they all had the same will, because the Lev is the will. And now we move over to the next page. So again, it's clear that Ritzono Shalom is the lave, and that controls man's ability to make decisions and to be absolutely objectively clear. It all depends on the lave, on the Ratzon. And when we speak about Amira Elibo, we're talking about Esav's decision because of his lave to destroy Yaakov. Now, Rabosei, the next piece from the Ramban is in one of the more mystical writings of the Ramban, so I'm not claiming that I understand, you know, what the Ramban has to say over here. This is called the Sefer Yetzira. And he writes that Chachma can be broken down into no less than 32 tributaries. And the number 32 is not coincidental, because even though we're talking about Chachma, the number 32 represents what?
Lave.
The Lev. And again, these 32 Nesivos of Chachma are a combination of the Eser Sfiros together with the 22 letters of the alphabet is equals 32, which is Kavodas HaChesbon HaZeh LeLev. So again, this is all very mystical. But he says, Halev hu haratzon. That's the part that we wanted to get to. And he quotes the pasuk in Malachim that says, Hayeshes levavcha yashar im levavi kasha levavi im levavcha, which means that do you have the same will that I have? And this, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is the chevreshaf, that brotherhood between Yonason and David. In any event, there are very deep ideas here that go way beyond our ability to comprehend mysticism. But what's clear to us is that in the Ramban's philosophy, Ratzon and Lev are identical. And if that be the case, then the mitzvah of Emunah, the mitzvah of faith, which we would say is in the Mach, really starts in the Lev. And we're going to bring three different quotes from the Rishonim to indicate this. Rabbeinu Bechai writes in his sefer called Kad VeKemach that Ikar HaTorah VaMitzvah Hi Emunah, the fundamental mitzvah of the Torah, of course, is Emunah. VeHi Mitzvah Tluya V'Lev. You know, Rabbeinu Bechai is famous for dividing up the mitzvahs into two categories, and there are the mitzvahs Tluyas V'Lev. To our great surprise, Emunah is placed under the category of a mitzvah tluya b'lev, which is counterintuitive. The Ran in his drasha says that emunah b'mitzias Hashem yisbarach, the belief that God exists and that God supervises man's actions and will bestow reward and punishment upon man, all this begins in the lev, says the Ramban. Kol mashu mimin elu mitzvahs. Anything that's related to this kind of a mitzvah of emunah, ein safek shall lev haschol and v'sharsham. The lev is the beginning of this mitzvah and the root of the mitzvah. And Rabbeinu Bechai in his commentary on the Torah writes at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra regarding the phrase chacham lev, chachmas lev, halev sibas hachachma, that the lev is what causes and impacts on wisdom. Ki hamachshava v'chachma b'lev. So what we saw in the Ramban, and we saw it as almost like a fluke, that the Ramban would speak about the lev as the source for machshava, we see it over and over again throughout the writings of the Rishonim and the Achronim. And the bottom line, to summarize everything we've been saying today, is that the lev, which is the ratzon of the person, is koveya, it determines everything. And it is sholeit al daito shel adam. If man wants to make the right decision and choose good as opposed to the opposite, it all depends upon the ratzon of his lev. And that's why the Gemara says to Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Rachmana liba boy, Hashem wants the lev. And Chazal say that in the case, what's the difference between a Rasha and a Tzaddik? In the case of a Rasha, the lev controls the Rasha. Right, the lev of a person is what controls all the actions of a rasha. In the case of tzaddikim, libam b'rshusam, they themselves can control their lev. So the question is, does man have the ability to discipline his lev and his ratzon? And herein lies the difference, you know, between the boys and the men. You know, how do you differentiate between the tzaddikim and the rishoyim? The answer is that the rishoyim have no control over the lev. The lev controls them. And the tzaddikim, in contrast, control their lev. And therefore, once again, the Ramban says that Eov, hikir es boro, why was Eov able, despite all his difficulties, to overcome them and believe in the Creator? He says, because of his havodas, halev, he worked on his lev. And the lev, he says, is shorash hakol, is the source of everything. And this really reflects what we saw earlier in the Yalkut Shimoni, that the lev is the source of all the kochos of man. Afsha chachma, even though chachma is in the brain, in the head, but without the lev, chachma is not going to function. It's not going to be able to perceive truth, and therefore everything depends upon the ratzon halev. And therefore, he says, "Hasiba shemiachis hakatuv es chachma lo lev neutzu b'kach shemakom kol hakochus b'lev haynu hashilton al haratzon." What do we find in the lev? Man's ability to control his will, and as a result, to achieve chachma. And now we're on the bottom of the right column of page 13. And he writes the following. We begin to understand now the mitzvah of tefillin. tefillin, he says, is to be meshabed the taivos and the machshavos. And how does a person achieve this? How does a person achieve the level of controlling his lev, his taivos, and therefore his machshavos, to commit them to Hashem? And the answer is, believe it or not, Nisei Yitzias Mitzrayim, an awareness of the great miracles that transpired in the entire long process of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And that's what we saw in the Shulchan Aruch with regard to Hilchas Tefillin. He writes that the Tefillin is to connect us to Yitzias Mitzrayim, Morim al Yichudo. Yitzias Mitzrayim teaches us that God is one, He's omnipotent, He has control over the upper worlds and the lower worlds, and He can do with the worlds whatever He wants. And this is what the Ramban says in his famous drasha, Toras Hashem Tmim, on the top left column. Hanisim ha-mefursamim. Mefursamim means those miracles that clearly undermine the law of nature and took place at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Eser Makis and the Kriyas Yamsuf. Morim, they teach us chidush, that God created the world. Yedia, that God is aware of what goes on in this world. Hashgacha, that God intervenes with what goes on in this world of man. And therefore, these are the critical fundamentals of our belief, established by Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore we are commanded to constantly remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. We should remember them on the mezuzos. We should remember them on the Tefillin Shel Rosh and the Tefillin Shel Yad, in Kriyat Shema, Boka V'Erev, in Sukkah, in Pesach. An entire myriad, an entire constellation of mitzvahs who have one common goal, and that is the Zikaron of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're commanded to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim on a daily basis, nay, twice daily. And the reason for that is because Yetzias Mitzrayim teaches us all of the fundamentals of our belief. And this is why, according to the Ramban, the mitzvah of tefillin, the meaningfulness of the mitzvah of tefillin, is, in the language of the Ramban, lev ha-lev ha-moach heim mishkinos ha-machshava. How do you come to this machshava in which you understand and you acknowledge all the fundamentals of the belief? The answer is through the lev. And again, we ask the question, the moach is in the machshava is in the moach, it's not in the lev. Why does the Ramban say that the lev is the mishkan of machshava? And the answer is because chachma starts in the rosh, but misham mispashetis lev, meaning the lev is the place of all the kochos. It has the most profound impact on everything about man's thought process, everything about his wisdom, everything about his understanding and comprehension of truth, and therefore the avoda of the lev, being able to control one's lev and discipline, that is the shoresh of everything. That's the source of emuna, and we saw this over and over again throughout the writings of our greats. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch says that when you... What intention should you have when you put on tefillin? Yeshabed laKodesh Baruch Hu aneshamishi b'moach v'gam alev shu'ikar ataivos v'hamachshavos. That's the language of Rav Yosef Cairo. Baze yizkar habore v'yamit hanaosav. He says that you will remember the bore because you are in control of your lev, and as such, you are in control, therefore, of your moach. It's all based on the Ramban, that the lev is the mishkan of machshava. And all this makes sense now, in terms of the sequence of how we put on our tefillin. This is number yud. We start with tefillin shel yad, and then we put on tefillin shel rosh. The Mishnah Berurah says, because the pasuk says, ukshartem, referring to yad, and then, v'hayu l'tatafa shel rosh. And the Shulchan Aruch says that when he takes off his tefillin, first he takes off his tefillin shel rosh, because of the word v'hayu l'totofos b'einecha, shekol zman sh'beinecha yushtayim. Okay, we don't have time for that now because we have to finish up. But maybe we can now begin to shed a philosophical, deeper insight into why the halacha is so careful about the sequence. The tefillin shel yad represent the lev. And if you want to come to the mind, to the machshava, then first you got to start with the lev. So if you want to be mishabed, first and foremost, you'd be mishabed the taivos and the machshavos for avodas Hashem. And then putting on the tefillin shel rosh is a cinch, because the tefillin shel rosh, representing the seichel and the moach, will follow suit, because you've already controlled the lev. On the other hand, when you take off your tefillin, then you're going to take off the tefillin shel rosh first. And why is that? We don't want to take off the tefillin shel yad, because the tefillin shel yad is the lev, and we want to make sure that the tefillin shel yad remain on the body as long as possible. And this is where we come to the culmination. He says that the source for all the maisim is in the lev. All your actions are controlled and determined by the lev. And therefore the lev has to be meshuvah to avodas Hashem. And therefore, we should leave the tefillin shel yad, which are connected to the lev, as on our bodies as long as possible. When the tefillin shel rosh are on the head, that means that through the tefillin shel lev, shel yad, we're able to control our machshavos. Shel lo yeh matzav shehamachshava v'amoach nimtzayim lilo shilton halev. If we were to take off the tefillin shel rosh first, then we're left with a situation. What did I just say? I meant to say if we take off the shel yad first. Well, I don't know what I said. But again, if we were to take off the shel yad first, then we're left with machshava, with moach, in the tefillin shel rosh, without lev. That is very unacceptable, intolerable. Because if you leave the machshava, the moach, for one split second without the lev, then the whole system is going to go haywire. And therefore, we finish up with number Yud Aleph here. The tefillin are a memory device on a daily basis to the battle between the moach and the lev, a struggle that will determine how we act on any particular day and our spiritual level throughout our lives. And therefore, when we put on the tefillin, we have to first begin to remember the great miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that will cause us to be meshaved our moach and our lev for the avodas Hashem, because with Yetzias Mitzrayim we remember that Hashem is in the driver's seat; He's in total control of the entire world that we live in, and therefore we are able, through the Yetzias Mitzrayim, to use our lev to come to a shibud of taivos and machshavos, a complete, total commitment to Hashem. And therefore, when we recite the Hineni Muchan or Mezuman, or whatever your nusach is, to atfillin, we say that Yesh Bahem Yichud, the Achdus Yisbarach, all the fundamentals of our faith are written in the Parshiyos of Atfilin. Shenizkar Nisim V'Niflos Shasa Yimonu Ba'otzion V'Mitzrayim, that Hashem has total omnipotent control of the entire universe upstairs in the heavens and downstairs on this world. V'Tzivonu L'Aniach Al Yad, and first and foremost we start with the Tfilin Shel Yad, and then we go on to mention that the Tfilin Shel Yad is connected al Lev. And then, once we already got to the level of tefillin shel yad keneged ha-lev, and we meshabed ha-taivos and ha-machshavos, then, and only then, are we ready to put on the shel rosh keneged ha-moach, the neshama and the moach, with all the other chushim, which are all now going to be meshubadim la-vodasa yisprach shmo, but that's only because we began with the absolute commitment as represented symbolically by the tefillin shel yad, which is connected the lev, to be meshabed all the taivos and the machshavos of our lev. Yiratzam et his will, that will be zochah to fulfill this mitzvah of tefillin and all the mitzvahs of Hashem, the way that we're supposed to be doing so. But tefillin as a symbol, representing almost all the mitzvahs of Torah, connected kulam, as a shibud of the lev, and therefore the moach, and will bring nachas ruach lefonov, Kenny Rotz on me. I'm sorry, I didn't.